Jordan looked up, startled, as his party came to a halt before the huge double doors that led into the great hall.
Announcing Prince Victor of Redheart, Count Roderick Crichton, and Sir Gawain Hellstrom of Tower Rouge.
Jordan, Roderick, and Gawain stood a moment in the great doorway, taking in the scene, and then a slow ripple moved through the court as the men bowed and the women curtsied. For a moment, Jordan wanted to look behind him to see who was there, and then he realized they were paying homage to him, Prince Victor of Redheart. He nodded curtly in response, and the courtiers relaxed a little. Jordan strode unhurriedly forward into the hall, and Roderick and Gawain moved with him. The two guards fell back a few paces to give them the illusion of privacy. The courtiers chatted quietly on unimportant matters, but Jordan noticed that their eyes never moved far from him or his party. He stopped and looked around him, doing his best to seem bored and to project an air of total indifference. Roderick leaned close to murmur in his ear.
Lewis and Dominic don't seem to have arrived yet. That's ominous. Given our head start, they should have been here long before us. I'm going back to find a Grange and see what's happening. Gawain will look after you. For the moment, don't take any risks. Just scowl at everyone and say nothing. They'll accept that as normal behavior, particularly after a bad day's hunting. I'll be back with you as soon as I can.
He bowed formally to Jordan and left unhurriedly. Only another actor would have spotted the telltale stiffness of tension in Roderick's back and shoulders. Jordan looked casually about him, keeping his face carefully calm and neutral. This wasn't the first court he'd ever visited, but it was the largest hall he'd ever seen. It had to be easily 200 feet long and half again as wide, and was packed from wall to wall with brightly costumed courtiers. With their vivid colors and never-ending gossiping, they reminded Jordan of so many chattering parrots. At the far end of the hall stood a roughly carved marble throne, set atop a raised marble dais. Beneath the throne, clearly visible between the squat legs, was a roughly hewn block of weather-beaten stone. Jordan studied it thoughtfully. Presumably, this was the stone to which the crown and the seal had to be presented, the stone that was the heart and focus of Castle Midnight's magic. It didn't look like much, but then neither did the throne. Its surface was cracked and pitted, and the bas-relief carvings were crude and functional. Even with a thick cushion on the seat, the throne looked very uncomfortable to actually sit on. It looked strangely out of place in the ostentatious elegance of the great hall. Jordan let his gaze drift casually over the wood-paneled walls. It wouldn't do for him to be caught gawking like a tourist, but there was no denying that the woodwork was very impressive. Each panel of lightly stained beech wood held fantastic and intricate carvings of the people and animals of Redheart, at work and at play. The detail was incredible. Jordan wished he had a sketch pad with him. He studied the richly wax-polished floor and the wonderfully carved and painted domed ceiling, and felt a sudden desire to turn and run from the hall. How could he ever hope to fool people who spent their days in glorious surroundings like this, taking its beauty for granted? Surely they must have recognized him immediately for the crude, common imposter he was, and were only waiting for the right moment to cry out on him. Something of this must have shown in his face, for Sir Gawain was suddenly at his elbow, leaning forward solicitously.
Are you all right, sire? You look a trifle pale.
I'm fine. I could use a drink, though.
I will fetch you one immediately, sire.
He moved off toward the buffet table set to one side. Jordan felt a sudden urge to call Gawain back, rather than be left on his own in the midst of strangers, but his pride wouldn't let him. He was the great Jordan, damn it. He was the actor, and they were the audience. He was in control. They only saw what he wanted them to see. The hall was certainly impressive, but he'd seen better. At the peak of his career, he'd played the palace. Duke Alric's palace in Hillsdown, not to mention the forest castle itself, renowned for being larger on the inside than on the outside due to some architectural miscalculation. Three nights at each, and not once had he failed to get a standing ovation. He could handle these people. What had Roderick said? Speak to no one and scowl at everyone. Easy. He caught the eye of the nearest courtier and let his features fall into his most intimidating glare. He used it mostly when walking through strange market towns and bazaars, when he wasn't too sure of the local mood. It was his, "I am poor but incredibly violent, so there is absolutely no point in trying to rob me" look. Jordan had put a lot of work into that glare, and was quietly proud of it. It never failed to have an effect. On a good day, he could part a sea of people right down the middle as he walked. The glare seemed to be going down well here at court, too. The courtiers around him apparently felt a sudden need to be somewhere else, and the man Jordan had chosen as the direct target for his glare had gone distinctly pale. Gawain returned with a glass of wine.
Thank you. Ease up on the glare a little. We don't want to scare them too much. We still want some of them as our allies. And remember, you're supposed to be recovering from a chill. You're looking a bit too strong at the moment.
Understood. Just as a matter of interest, why am I getting such strong reactions? That guy there looks scared to death. All right, it's a good glare, but not that good.
On a previous occasion, shortly before you went into exile, one of the courtiers was foolish enough to ridicule your choice of clothing. You gave him a chance to apologize, and when he refused, you called up your fire magic and fried the man where he stood.
Jordan looked at Gawain, but there was nothing in the knight's face to suggest that he was exaggerating.
What happened?
The man died, sire. Eventually.
I gathered that. I meant, what happened to the prince?
Nothing.
Nothing? He wasn't punished or disciplined?
Of course not, sire. There wasn't even a trial. You are a prince of the realm, and you did give him a chance to apologize.
Jordan thought about that. He didn't like the taste of it at all. In his time, Jordan had played all kinds of aristocrats, from lords to barons to dukes to kings, and every single one of them had followed the old ways of duty and honor. It wasn't enough to have noble blood. A ruler had to show noble behavior to justify his exalted position. A noble could only rule with the consent of his subjects. The alternative was a land permanently racked by civil wars. That was the tale he always told. The tale he'd told so often, he had finally come to believe it himself.